sermon title today is called The Second Half. And I know you guys all know I'm a big sports fan. I love basketball and football. There's a lot of sports I love. Team sports are really fun to watch. But there's something about the first half of games that are really important. They set the stage. They get you ready for what's happening. But then at halftime, there's some halftime adjustments. The coaches are like, "Hey, we got to fix this. Even if we're doing really good at something, we got to make sure that we are on top of it for the second half. We got to make sure that we're ready for the second half." And so, this is kind of how we see the first letter of John. John has come out in the first half, and he's talked about God is light. He said that in 1 John 1:5, he said, "God is light, and in him there is no darkness." And so then he's talking about how it is really important to understand the truth of God is light. But now he's ready to talk about in the second half. What is the second half of this letter from the book of 1 John? And so we're going to find out today the second half. But some of the things in the first half we saw was that Jesus deepens our intimacy with him and others through the forgiveness of sin. So we get that light's going to expose the sin, and we need to be right with Jesus through forgiveness of sin. And then we saw that our lives, not our words, show that we truly follow Jesus. It's not just what we say, but it's what we also how we live. And then we saw that when we are truly God's family, we think and act differently, very differently than the world. Then last week, we saw that the more we experience Jesus, not just know Jesus, but the more we have a personal experience with Jesus, the more we act like him. And we saw that when God's children abide in him, as God's children, we would know him in practice, not just theory. And we would no longer practice sinfulness, but replace it with righteousness, that we would practice righteousness. And so we talked about different spiritual practices of how we can practice righteousness. And so today we're going to continue. But what is the second half? The second half starts out in 1 John chapter 3, and it's not in verse 1. It's actually in verse 11 that the second half starts in this letter, and we're going to see that today. So as we open to the scripture this morning, I just want to give the main idea of the message. The main idea today is that God's example of love motivates us to love others. So God's example of love motivates us to love others. So we're going to see that today. And when I say us, John is talking about believers, okay? Believers in Jesus. And so God's example of love motivates believers of Jesus to love others. All right, so let's just kind of jump into the second half of this letter. The second half of the letter starts with 1 John chapter 3 and verse 11. And so the reason I say it's the second half is we're going to see right away that the same way he started the first half, he starts the second half. He says, "For this is the message we heard from the beginning." So the beginning message was God is light. And now the second half, he says, the same words, this message we've heard from the beginning, he says, "We should love one another." We should love one another. So that's what the second half is all about, loving one another. So we're going to look at that today. And so the second half kicks off with loving one another. You know, in the last verse we just saw last week, that 1 John chapter 3 and verse 10, he's talking about loving God's children versus children of the devil. Now, that's not a topic anybody really likes to talk about. Are you a children of God or are you a children of the devil? Like, that's not something we usually like to talk about. But he says in verse 10 in the last sermon we just heard, but he's going to continue this today. In verse 10 it says, And this is how we know who the children of God are, and who are the children, and who the children of the devil are. Anyone who does not do what is right is not God's child. So anyone's not practicing in righteousness, like we talked about last week, anyone's not actively practicing righteousness is not God's child, nor is anyone who does not love their brother or sister. So big thing. We're children of God or we're children of the devil, depending on how we live our lives. And so let's understand this. So here John gives us an example, a big example, Cain and Abel. A lot of us know about Cain and Abel, but it was the first murder in the Bible, and they're brothers. So Let's read from 1 John 3, and this is starting in verse 12. It says, "Do not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one." So he belonged to the devil. Cain, it says it right there. And Cain murdered his brother. Why did he murder him? Because his own actions were evil and his brother's were righteous. So do not be surprised, my brothers and sisters, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love each other. Anyone who does not love remains in death, and anyone who hates a brother or sister is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life residing in him. Okay, very strong words from the Apostle John to the believers of those of Jesus Christ. So the second half, he's talking about loving one another. So if we are God's children, then we are going to be loving each other. It kind of makes sense. We know God is love, but our actions are going to show that we love each other. Now, this is interesting because he's not saying love everybody. He's saying love one another. And it's really in this context, he's talking about the church. He's talking about brothers and sisters. When he says brothers or sisters, we know he's talking about brothers or sisters in the family of God. So if we can't even get along, if we are inside the church and we are hating each other, people not wanting to be around each other because, oh, this petty thing or that petty thing or whatever it is, but we hate each other, what is that? What is our witness to the world? It's terrible. So he's saying we love one another. And then he's talking about this in verse 14. He says, we know we have passed from death to life because we love one another. So raise your hand if you're dead. I don't see any hands. Maybe people watching online are raising their hands. I don't know. But I think we're all alive. Aren't we alive? Well, the word life here is not talking about our physical life. It's this word in Greek called zoe, and it's this idea of abundant life or this eternal life. It's not so here we have to look at, we haven't just passed from physical death to physical life. He's talking about here we've passed from this death to a eternal life. Jesus says that Paul says we are a new creation, right? In 2 Corinthians 5:17, we are a new creation in Christ Jesus. The old is gone, the new has come. And so this is going to show that because we love one another, we have passed from death to life. And so our first point today is believers are to love with God's love because God gives abundant life. And that abundant life isn't for later. That abundant life is for now. Now, we can get excited about later. We can get excited about God making all things new and all the things that are going to happen later. But right now, we have abundant life. Jesus promised that in John 10:10, that we have abundant life. And he offers that to us now. The NIV Zondervan Study Bible says, it's not just an unending extension of life as we know it. Rather, it is a having the Son. Eternal life is in the Son, this is Jesus. And those who believe in him have eternal life because he dwells within them and gives them life. Jesus gives us abundant life now. He gives us life and we dwell in him. This whole book has been talking about abiding in Christ, abiding in him. And that's what John also wrote about in his gospel, abiding in Christ. And apart from me, we can do nothing, Jesus says. And so, This idea of abundance life, people should see us and be like, wow, look at those guys. Like, how are they living like that? Why are they joyful? Why are they excited? When things are going bad, why aren't they falling apart? It should be attractive to the world because of the abundant life that God has given us. And in verse 15, it says, you know, anyone who hates a brother or sister is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life residing in him. No murderer, no one that is of a child of the devil has eternal life, has that abundant life, has a Zoe life residing in him, remaining in him, abiding in that person. And so believers are to love with God's love because God gives us abundant life that starts now. Can you tell I'm excited about that? All right, we're going to see a video clip from Dr. Tony Evans talking a little bit more about this scripture in the next.
God wants us to be acceptable to him. And since sin separates us from him, we want to sin less because we don't want that separation. And when that happens, he draws closer to us and we draw closer to him. Now, one of the ways that that closeness is enhanced, he says, is through the practice of love. He goes on to say that those who are living in righteousness love one another, verse 11 says. So by practicing love, and love is the decision to compassionately, righteously, and responsibly seek the well-being of another. When you are seeking to love others, then you are actually drawing closer to the Lord. And when you're loving others and therefore drawing closer to the Lord, the net result is that you are becoming more righteous through that process. So look how they all connect. Loving others draws you closer. Drawing you closer means you're being more righteous. Being more righteous means you're experiencing more of his love and his presence in your life and more victory over the sin. So it's a circle of victory that God wants us to be a part of because of our hope and expectation of drawing near to him. Now he goes on to say how he wants this love to be manifested. He says, I don't just want you to love in word, verse 18, but little children. He says, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and truth. In other words, let's have a love we can see, not just a love we can say. Let's love with our life, not merely with our lips, with our walk, not merely with our talk. He wants us to demonstrate through acts of goodwill, good works, and kindness, the love of God. And when that love is demonstrated, you know, when you look at television, you don't want just sound, you want sight. You need sight and sound to get a full picture. A full picture of God's love is when there's sight and sound, when you declare it and when you say it, but also when you act on what you say.
All right, so that's from our Right Now Media study on the letters from John, Tony Evans. And so he's given this definition of love. So he says that love is a decision to compassionately, righteously, and responsibly seek the well-being of another. So are we doing that? Are we seeking the well-being of others compassionately, righteously, and responsibly? And when we do that, there's this process that love is then manifested. We see going on in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 16. This is, you know, a lot of people say, John 3:16 is the most important verse in the New Testament, or most important verse in the Bible. I think that is a super important verse. This is another super important verse, 1 John 3:16. It's almost the same reference, but it's with a one in front of it. So 1 John 3:16 says, this is how we know, this is a personal, this know is not just know like knowledge, it's this personal experience know. This is how we personally experience what love is. That one, Jesus Christ, lay down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. That verse right there, that is taking what Jesus did and then applying it to us too, that we are supposed to do that too. Jesus laid down his life for us. He laid down his life for anyone that accepts him and chooses to answer God's call. And then we are supposed to do that too. We as Christians, we as people that love Jesus, we as people that are drawn and accepted to his calling are supposed to also lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. And then he goes on, if anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be abiding in that person or in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. So this is this idea, like what Tony was saying with TV. We don't want to just watch TV. We want to hear it too. It's this both. You know, we declare it, and then we act on it. We act on what we say. It's both. And if you just have one or the other, it just doesn't match. And so we need to have this love like Jesus did. And so our second point today is that believers are to love with God's love because Jesus demonstrated love by laying down his life. So our example is Jesus. And Jesus laid down his life, and then we are to also do that. We're supposed to lay down our life for our brothers and sisters. If we have material possessions, if we have different things, and we don't have pity on them, how can God's love be in us, John says. So we're supposed to love by laying down our lives. And there's a lot of really great examples of this, but recently we were watching the movie The Hiding Place about Corrie Ten Boom in World War II, as she and her family, Betsy and her dad, they were letting Jews come and stay, have refuge in their house, and hiding them. And a lot of us probably know this story, but I just thought there was a really, really important statement, or a big statement that Betsy Ten Boom said when they came and asked them, okay, so can you really? And now it was the people that were helping with hiding the Jews, and they said, now can you really hide them? And they practice all these ways to do it, and where they build a wall and all these things, so it's, they can hide them in the house. But then they said, do you really want to do this, or can you really? What's your motivation of helping these Jews? So let's play this clip. It's just about a minute long.
We appreciate your concern, Mr. Slurry. We are not the most likely candidates. But since there is a need, we must do what we can to meet it.
People have every kind of reason for wanting to work in the underground. Excitement, perhaps.
Mr. Slurring, we are past the age when excitement is of any major concern in our lives. Truthfully, I'd rather do anything else. I'd like to close the door and never open it again until this whole hideous thing is over. But that's me. My Lord Jesus tells me to open the door to whatever comes, to give his love in whatever way I can. And I will listen to his voice, not mine. Do we pass inspection?
How many can you take?
Do we pass the inspection? And then he said, well, how many can you take? So she says, this is Betsy, the sister. She said, I would rather do anything else. I would rather do anything else, because they risked their lives. And if you know this story, they are taken into concentration camps, and Betsy does die. And they risk their life to show love to people. But she says, it's not about me. It's about showing love the way that Jesus wants her to. It's his love in whatever way I can, she said. I want to show his love in whatever way I can. Jesus demonstrated his love by laying down his life. And so as believers, if you've accepted Jesus and you have a new life in him, then our job is to also lay down our lives for others. And so believers are to love, and that motivates the way that we love others. In God's abundant life that starts now, and that Jesus demonstrated his love by laying down his life and us doing likewise. And then this continues in verse 19. So 1 John 3 in verse 19 says, and this is how we know, and this is again a personal experience know, like we talked about last week. This is how we have a personal experience of knowing what belongs to the truth, and how we set our hearts at rest in God's presence, in his presence. If our hearts condemn us, we know that God is greater than our hearts. And he knows, this personal experience, again, he knows everything. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from him anything we ask, because we keep his commands and do what pleases him. And this is his command, to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commanded us. Verse 24, the one who keeps God's commands abides or lives in him, and he in them. And this is how we know, this personal experience of knowing that God abides in us or lives in us, we know it by the Spirit he gave us. All right, so a lot of things in here. A lot of things. But so this idea of knowing the truth and having our hearts set on him and knowing his truth. And if our hearts condemn us, we have confidence before God and we can receive anything we ask. Sorry, if our hearts do not condemn us, we can know that this is what is God. But it says here that we are to do what God pleases and keeping his commands. And to believe, what is God's command summed up in 1 John? He says, is to believe in Jesus. Not just to believe that Jesus was a good preacher or a good man or he did some miracles, but to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And then to show love like he did by loving each other as he commanded. And if you want to know, am I doing that or not? It says in verse 24, the one who keeps God's commands lives in him and he in them. So how can we keep God's commands? We live, abide in Christ. We abide in him. And this is how we know. How do we know we are abiding? Because he gave us the Spirit. He gave us the Holy Spirit. And so that's our third point today, is that believers are to love with God's love because the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, lives in those who abide in him. So we abide in Christ, we abide in God, and the Holy Spirit is living and dwelling with us. Because in verse 23, we know that believing in Jesus involves obedience. And how do we obey? We usually don't have a... It's hard to obey just remembering all the law, remembering all the things that God has asked us to do. But we obey with his Spirit. He gives us the Holy Spirit. He gives us... The Holy Spirit isn't just like a conscience. It's God living with us. And the Holy Spirit gives us guidance, gives us wisdom, reminds us God's truth, shows us what's right. And so the way we show love is by abiding. And because we are abiding, the Spirit lives in all of us that are abiding in him. And so then we are to obey, and we are to love one another. Obey God's commands and love one another. Because he's given us a Spirit. He's given us his Holy Spirit to live in us. So God's example of love motivates us to love others. God's example of love motivates us to love others and gives us the tools of having a Holy Spirit in us, dwelling in us, that we can then love one another. The NIV Application Commentary says, those who exhibit love for Christ's family demonstrate that they are already enjoying eternal life provided for them. So we're going to have this eternal life, this abundant life now because of what Christ has done, and he has demonstrated that he gave us love by dying on the cross, and then we experience his love, and we're not supposed to just be like, oh, receive God's love and that's it. We're supposed to receive God's love and then love others. We pass it on to people. We pass on the love of God. We don't just keep it, but we're a conduit of the love of God, the love of Jesus that he has given to us. And then we experience that eternal life, that abundant life. It's not about the possessions we have. It's not about the circumstances we're in, but it's about that we have life in him. And in each of these points today, there's something about life. You know, God giving abundant life that starts now. That abundant life is that Zoe. And then Jesus demonstrated love by laying down his life. But this life in Greek is different. It's a physical life. And then the Spirit lives in those who seek to live for God. Those who abide in Christ. The Spirit lives in those who are abiding. So, and the Spirit is the breath of life that God gave. And so he gives to us God's Spirit. And so we have God gives, Jesus demonstrates, and the Holy Spirit lives. We have abundant life in God. Physical life is what we're supposed to lay down for our brothers and sisters. And that life is by abiding only in God. And we have proof of that by having the Holy Spirit. Last week I talked about some spiritual disciplines of how you can be seeking righteousness. And remember, I wasn't trying to say, like, do these things so you can be good with God. Do these things so you can have so you can show God that you're good. Show God that he should save you. Things like that. No, nothing like that. But spiritual practices are things that we can do to show that we are disciplining ourselves. We are showing ourselves that we need to depend on the Lord, and we need to depend on God and not on ourselves. And so some of those things, I didn't know if you guys were practicing some of these last week, but some of the ones were solitude and silence and fasting and frugality, chastity, secrecy, and sacrifice. And those are ways that we can be practicing the love of God. The love of God, first, that we're receiving God's love and really having a dependence on Jesus. And then we can be people that are showing his love to the world, not by our strength, but by God's strength. And then disciplines of activity were study, worship, prayer, fellowship, confession, and submission. And so these are what Dallas Willard says is choosing to participate in activities that nurture our souls and strengthen us for the race ahead. And so these things, we can receive the love of Jesus, we can depend on him, and then we can, by his Spirit, go and do likewise and love others. But we need to be abiding, be connecting with God, not just to have some of these good answers, but so we can really be showing a life of love for those around us in our world. So before I close, I just want to encourage you to think about this question. How can you demonstrate God's love this week? So I'd like just invite you to just take a moment just to think about that. How can you demonstrate God's love this week? So Lord Jesus, we just thank you today that you offered yourself by laying down your life. And God, I thank you that you did not stay dead, that you rose from the dead victoriously and defeated sin and death. God, I thank you that you give us life, an abundant life that starts now. Jesus, I thank you that you've given that to us, and we don't have to wait until our physical death, but we can have life in you now, Jesus. I ask that you, God, you would just give us that, just help us to see and experience that abundant life, and that others would see this abundant life, and that we are children of you with abundant life. And God, I thank you that you've given us a Spirit, your Holy Spirit, the Spirit that gives us wisdom, directs us in your truth, reminds us of your heart and your ways, God. And I just ask that you would help us to just take moments through each day and each, just all the time, that we just would remember to connect with you and to abide with you, to seek you, to live for you, but not on our own strength, but by your strength that you've given us and empowered us through your Holy Spirit. And I pray that we would be a people that would love one another. That we would love one another, and the world would see the good works, and they would glorify you, or glorify our Father in heaven. And so, Jesus, we just pray that you would receive all glory and honor in everything that we say and do, and that our lives and our words would match up to the way that you want us to live and want us to say. And we pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.